No amendment to the Constitution is absolute. You can't yell fire in a crowded movie theater. We call it freedom of speech. From the very beginning, you couldn't own any weapon you wanted to own. So the idea is just bizarre to suggest that some of the things we're recommending are contrary to the Constitution.
So President Biden, joined by Vice President Harris and Attorney General Merrick Garland, announced a series of executive actions on Thursday to curb gun violence.
Gun violence in this country is an epidemic. Let me say it again. Gun violence in this country is an epidemic, and it's an international embarrassment.
And he also talked to the survivors that were there, people that had either lost loved ones or had been in shootings.
I've had the pleasure of getting to meet in awful circumstances many of you who've lost your children, your husbands, your wives.
About how he had been hearing them and he understood what they were going through and that these things take time, and he wanted to get started on making some changes.
I'm Jeremy Siegel. This is Politico Dispatch. And today...
So you have a lot of gun rights groups and Republicans talking about how he just wants to change everything and put all these policies in place that are going to restrict the Second Amendment.
Anita Kumar breaks down what exactly President Biden's new executive actions on guns do, what sort of turbulence they're on track to face, and why, for gun control advocates, they mark just a modest beginning. So, Anita, it seems to me like within Biden's executive orders are three significant moves. One, to crack down on the buying and selling of so-called ghost guns. One, to regulate concealed assault-style guns. And another, pushing for new red flag rules for states. Do I have that right?
Yes. And then, of course, there's a couple other things. But yes, those are the significant rules he's proposing.
All right. Let's go through each of those significant rules. First off, what are ghost guns? And what exactly does Biden's executive order involving them do?
Yeah, ghost guns, it's just obviously a nickname, not the real name here, are sort of homemade or makeshift firearms. So what that means is you can buy a kit to make your own gun, which sounds a little bit odd, but that is what has become popular in recent years, and you could buy it in a store or you could buy it online. And it doesn't have these kits, the actual gun doesn't have a serial number on it. And if it doesn't have a serial number on it, it's not regulated like a firearm. So all that really means is that the president wants to regulate it as a firearm so that people who buy them have to go through the background check system. And that's not the case right now.
So right now, if you're getting one of these sort of makeshift guns, you can just get it without going through anything?
That's right.
Wow.
What he's saying is that they need to be regulated.
Anyone from a criminal to a terrorist can buy this kit in as little as 30 minutes, put together a weapon.
You know, it's what I've been understanding from people is that various things crop up over time, right?
Uh-huh. It's,
you might ask, why didn't they do this 5 years or 10 years ago? Well, these are things that have become very popular in recent years. So this is something he's been hearing about. Obviously, he's only been in office a few months, but during the transition and on the campaign trail, this is something that people have been saying, look, this has kind of fallen through the cracks and we need to regulate it.
That's fascinating. What about the concealed assault style firearms order? What exactly is happening there?
It's sort of this very similar in that he wants to regulate it. These are a type of guns that also have slipped through the cracks, right? He wants them to be regulated as a rifle would be. The shooter in the Boulder, the recent Boulder, Colorado shooting used this. But my understanding is this has been used in other mass shootings too. It's not that it's not regulated. It's not regulated like a certain a type of gun that it really is, if that makes sense. So what he wants to do there is say, look, this is the type of gun it is. It looks one way, but it's you can shoot it another way. It should be regulated like other guns like it is. And so that would be very similar. A buyer would have to undergo various background checks to buy one of them.
And let me see if I have this straight. These are guns that look like they're not assault weapons, but when you use them, operate really similarly, like with how powerful or dangerous or easy to use they are?
Yeah, that's right. And if you buy one of those guns, one of those more powerful guns, generally you have to go through more hoops to get one. Mm-hmm. And what's happening here is you don't have to go through those additional hoops. And so they're saying, let's do this. Even though this gun has been around because of the Boulder, Colorado shooting, it's become something that people have really talked about. And more than 100 House Democrats just wrote to the president asking him to take this action on what they're calling sort of concealed assault style firearms. Mm.
The last of those three big moves is red flag laws. These are the rules that can prevent you from buying weapons if you might be a danger to yourself or other people. What is Biden ordering involving red flag laws?
Yeah, now I would put this in a little bit of a different category. I do not think this is as significant as the other two. And here's why. He is not putting in place a red flag law. Obviously, he can't put in place a law. Congress has to do that. Mm-hmm. What he's doing is directing, again, the Department of Justice to provide sort of model legislation or a proposed legislation to individual states that they could use as red flag laws in their state.
Today, I asked the Justice Department to publish a model red flag legislation so states can start crafting their own laws right now. Just like with background checks, the vast majority of the Americans support these extreme risk protection order laws.
So what it's doing is it's not putting anything in place on the federal level. He's urging basically the states to put these in place. Mm-hmm. And the Department of Justice has 60 days to get that language together and work with the states on that.
Are you expecting to see any major turbulence for these actions? Like, is there potential for lawsuits, or given that he's directing states to put in place new laws, like, are we expecting to see especially red states just say, no, we're not going to do that?
Yeah, I would expect to see both of those things. I think that states will push back and say, oh, we don't want to see your red flag law legislation. You know, that's something that they can do. I do think that you might see some challenges in court. What they're saying is that Congress regulates firearms and they should be involved and that the president can't do this himself. What the White House has told us is that they have looked at this, they have had lawyers looking at this, and they feel like these are within their rights.
We talked a few weeks ago on this show about how advocates in the aftermath of the recent shootings in Georgia and in Colorado had been pushing the White House on these issues, saying, you know, Biden promised action on gun control on day one, and where the heck is it? Now, on Thursday, he signed these executive orders. He spoke at length about gun violence in America. Is this what they wanted?
This is what they wanted, and what you're hearing and what I'm hearing all day is, applause and cheering and praise for this. And it's a little bit interesting to me because taken at a whole, I find that what President Biden did sort of limited. It's still a modest proposal. For example, some of these advocates and groups that you've referenced have given the president and the White House dozens and dozens and dozens of actions he could possibly take. He took some and he didn't take others, right? It's, you would think that they would say, hey, look, this isn't enough. Mm-hmm. To be fair, they're saying, even though I called this modest and limited, and I do believe it is, this is really the first step. They have said at the White House that President Biden's not going to have just one announcement and that's going to be it. This is the first of a series of announcements on a larger strategy to curb gun violence. So while these proposals might be somewhat limited, it's just the first step and they're going to be doing other things.
Anita Kumar, thanks so much for talking with me.
Thanks for having me.
Also today, Florida is suing the Biden administration over regulations blocking the cruise industry from resuming operations during the pandemic. Governor Ron DeSantis announced the lawsuit in Miami on Thursday, attacking the Biden administration and saying, quote, "We don't believe the federal government has the right to mothball an industry for over a year." The lawsuit marks just the latest escalation between the Biden administration and Republican officials in Florida. And senators are planning to hold a hearing next week on two top Biden administration health nominees. Yesterday, the Finance Committee announced that on April 15th, they'll question Chiquita Brooks-LaSure, Biden's pick to run the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, and Andrea Palm, the nominee for the number two job at HHS. At CMS, Brooks-LaSure would be charged with bolstering Obamacare and unwinding Trump-era initiatives aimed at minimizing the health care law. And Palm, who was Wisconsin's top health official during the pandemic, would run much of HHS's day-to-day operations as deputy secretary. The Politico Dispatch production team includes senior producer Jenny Ament and executive producer Irene Noguchi. I'm Jeremy Siegel. Thanks for listening.